He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about LeBron and on a few levels. One, he practiced today as was expected. And the news cycle is kind of going as I told you guys it probably would. He is now considered questionable to play in the Lakers game tomorrow night or Tuesday night. Tonight, by the time you guys are listening to this in podcast form. And then with LeBron coming back means the return of the stupid, intellectually dishonest LeBron James takes that tend to follow him. This time it was Shaq. So I'm going to talk not just about Shaq's take or whatever, like he's just said stupid stuff, but more kind of in general, why the Lakers and LeBron have been this like lightning rod for this kind of disingenuousness. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about like actually what LeBron will be bringing to the table, what to look forward to, what the Lakers are looking forward to. I think Austin gave us kind of an interesting quote from practice about LeBron. So I think that gave us a bit of a glimpse into what the Lakers are looking to probably do with Bron, at least in some possessions. And then I'm going to start just basically getting in the habit of doing this. So after I run through those first three topics, I'm going to dive into the comment section, into the chat, and answer questions from there. But again, as I try to say, hit me with the question mark so that I kind of can quickly see it, note it, and then come back to it or look for it so that I'm not sitting here scrolling while you guys are watching me do so. So plenty of stuff to get to in this one. Let's go ahead and dive on in. But first, a quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button if you guys are watching on YouTube. And then obviously the share button too. If you guys are not watching on YouTube right now, the place you can find the show is youtube.com/@LakersLounge. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey because I'm a company man. But like I always say, wherever it is that you get them, they all count the same. So without any further ado, let's dive on in, starting with some of the updates and quotes from LeBron's first practice of the season. LeBron, I just think in general, before I get into like the Spectrum literally just posted their the LeBron's interview. So I'm going to go ahead and play producer while I filibuster. But before I even get into that, I thought the South Bay Lakers head coach Raj asked him about, you know, having LeBron in practice and what that was like and all that stuff. Raj, you can kill me if you want, but like he asked us in Slack and in Lounge Slack, he's like, hey, do you think this is an okay thing to ask? And all of us were like, yes, that is actually a great question to ask. But so LeBron or Raj asked the South Bay Lakers head coach about having LeBron in practice, what that was like, the experience for it, what he was hoping his guys would kind of take from it. And I thought it was a really cool and insightful question. I actually have pretty high hopes like for the head coach of the South Bay Lakers. I would, you know, go out and venture to say that with him having the relationship, okay, that was not the interview clips that I was hoping it would be from Spectrum. Our crew discusses the King's return. All right, whatever.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Anywho, but yeah, he was asked, he was talking about LeBron and what those guys were hoping to get, or he was hoping those guys would get from it. And he was just basically saying, like, the kinds of habits that LeBron has: showing up first, being the last to leave, being regimented, being, you know, very purposeful in the practice time that he had out there. I thought it was really cool. And it made me kind of like, I know I've kind of joked about it already, like, just imagine being a G League player and then all of a sudden LeBron's there on the other side of the scrimmage from you. But really though, like, when you think about it, for a lot of these guys, like, for me, I guess the equivalent would have been being able to practice with Jordan. Kobe and I think Kobe is not that much older than me, or was not that much older than me. He came into the league, I think, when I was entering high school, which means he was just freshly out of high school, right? So I think Kobe's only about 4 or 5 years older than me. So it wouldn't have been Kobe. It would have been Michael, was kind of the GOAT when I was growing up. And I can only imagine, like, you play basketball your whole life, probably have highlights saved, right, of you know, LeBron playing, and might have a poster if kids even still have posters up on their walls. I don't think that's a thing anymore. And I'm just like, man, that, just from a very human standpoint, that is a really cool story. And so anyway, like, you know, LeBron actually talked about it at practice and what that was like, and what benefit he actually got from that experience, right? That it wasn't just, you know, going through workouts on your own while the team is out on their road trip. LeBron was actually able to get some actual practice time in and understand kind of what he's working on. And, you know, the nice thing too is with the South Bay Lakers being as linked to the parent team as they are, JJ Redick could basically just tell his head coach down there, hey, these are the things that we're looking to work on. This is the kind of spots that we're trying to get LeBron into. We need him to focus on X, Y, or Z. And that way, whenever we get back, he is that much more ready to help hit the ground running with us and go kind of from there. And I think that's a really helpful element organizationally that the Lakers have. And, you know, we're at the point now where I think all but maybe one or two teams have a direct G League affiliate. The Lakers got in on that wave relatively early, and I think it's really helped them when they've utilized it properly, rather than basically use the South Bay Lakers or they used to be the Defenders, rather than use them as this like training ground for projects. The Lakers basically use the South Bay Lakers and their two-way spots as extra roster level players, or close to roster level players, right? You have Christian Coloco, who started at times for the Lakers last year. You have Nick Smith Jr., who was an NBA player last year and looks pretty close to the part even still now. And you know, Chris Mannion, I think, is somebody that they're kind of grooming for that kind of a role eventually as well. And I just think that's a really smart way that I think most NBA teams are kind of going there, where the team itself, the G League roster is a place where projects can kind of develop, and whoever kind of rises through those ranks, all the better. Maybe they get a two-way spot eventually, but most teams look at their two-way spots now as, hey, it's a long NBA season. Those 82 games are a mother bleeper. So let's see what we could possibly do here to have some guys ready. And with that being kind of the approach, if you send guys down to your G League affiliate, they get ready that much more quickly. So I thought that was really kind of cool there from, you know, LeBron talking about it, the head coach talking about it and all of that stuff from that point forward. Now, as far as, you know, LeBron and the Lakers talking about like what he is looking to do and what he's looking forward to here. My favorite quote, well, the funniest quote was LeBron saying, quote, "My lungs feel like a newborn baby. I got to get my lungs back up to a grown man," end quote. I think my kids are probably in better shape than I am. So like, it's funny when a 41-year-old NBA player says like, "I got to get my lungs back up to being a grown man." I kind of wonder if he's like, yeah, you know, maybe to when I was like 37 and maybe not to when I'm like 41. But that was the funniest quote. But you know, my favorite quote from it was from today, and I thought the most telling quote, again from Austin, as I said a second ago, quote, "He's the greatest player to ever touch a basketball, so he's going to do what he's going what he does. Give him a 4-on-3 advantage, and I believe good things will happen," end quote. And like I think that is kind of in a nutshell what the Lakers are hoping to get from LeBron whenever he steps onto the court. Luka Doncic is the primary creator. He's the engine of the offense. But if you look at it, if you look at the Lakers like some kind of a sailboat, or any kind of a boat, it used to be, and on most teams, your engine also kind of operates as your rudder. But with LeBron being as capable as he is as a primary creator as well, you can really kind of split up those duties. And by that, I don't necessarily mean your turn, my turn stuff, even though that is going to be an aspect of the offense. But what I kind of more mean is that you can get somebody who gets the ball rolling. Right. So like I remember at the when you like start a car or when you get your car rolling, right? The vast majority of effort that your car or energy that is you know utilized is getting your car from 0 to 60. Once it's up at 60, from that point on, even if you're accelerating up to 80 or 85 or whatever, at that point, your, you know, the energy output is a fraction of what it took to get from 0 to 60. And I kind of feel like the Lakers are really well positioned here because you have Luka Doncic, who can get the ball rolling, get your car up to from 0 to 60. And, you know, maybe that's the initial pick and roll that you run there. And then if he gets blitzed, as Austin is kind of talking about here, now your offense is already up at cruising speed. Well, now you pass the ball to LeBron in the short roll and he's at 85 miles an hour, just like that. And your offense is that much more difficult to deal with. And, you know, we've talked about how I would like to see Austin get a few easier shots. Well, the way that you get Austin a few easier shots is by introducing a creator of the caliber that LeBron James is. And that's not to say that Austin now just goes and stands in the corner. It's that like, that's another element of this offense that the Lakers get to introduce here. So there is going to be your turn, my turn. There are going to be Luka possessions and LeBron possessions and Austin possessions, and there's going to be Luka stretches and LeBron stretches. I don't think we'll get too many Austin stretches for the most part, but like you'll get also importantly, you'll have LeBron Austin possessions, or it's going to be really interesting to see if we get LeBron Luka possessions. That wasn't something that we were able to watch last year as the Lakers were ramping up to the playoffs, but they did eventually get to arrive now at a place where you aren't in the middle of a sprint to the postseason, you can tinker a little bit. And because the Lakers have done enough winning early on, they can, you know, take their foot off the gas a little bit and not, you know, like there are some actual desperate teams already in the NBA. And those teams wouldn't have the benefit of being able to trying some shit out. The Lakers can. And obviously you don't want it to cost you too many wins or lead to too many losses, but the Lakers can tinker a little bit. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to as well. LeBron also gave a good quote, "I miss these guys, just seeing them go out there and working. I love the work. I love the process of working. Don't miss the travel. I'm about to be 41 years old. I was happy to be at home on my couch after working out." But I honestly see it. Like we've talked about this, where first game of the season, LeBron's just sitting there and he barely even moved. And yeah, like the Lakers were in the middle of a blowout at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. But over the course of the season to this point, you have seen him up on his feet, involved in huddles, involved in conversations with his teammates as they get back to the sideline. And I think he has really kind of seen that, like, damn, like, you know, there's some distance that still needs to be covered here, but I feel like I could probably help cover some of that ground. And that's where I, you know, when he says, "I miss these guys." And then also, he also talked, there was another quote that he gave talking about the, like how he can see the chemistry that these guys already have and how they're there for each other and the sacrifice that some of these guys are making. If we notice these things, you're damn sure that, you can be damn sure that LeBron has noticed these things too. And I just think for LeBron to be stepping onto a basketball court or stepping into a situation here where when he comes back from an absence, the team that he's returning to isn't in fucking full-fledged forest fire mode. No, he's stepping back into a team that, yeah, does have some issues, does have some shortcomings, but also has some things going for it. That's pretty unique for LeBron at this point of his career. That hasn't been the case with basically any team that he has been on and missed time with. So yeah, I you know, before we get to some of the takes and stuff that follow them and some of the kind of negativity there, today was a really cool day. And I talked about it yesterday on the pod and how it was, it was going to be really cool to see, like, finally hear from LeBron for the first time really since media day. And I didn't think it disappointed, whether that was him or his teammates or JJ talking about it. I just think all in all, this thing is humming pretty well. And I think that, yeah, there are going to be some bumps and bruises. There is going to be some, you know, maybe some minor to maybe not so minor hiccups along the way as everybody kind of relearns to play together. But I would rather deal with that than never get this dude back. Or one of the alternatives was the Lakers really struggle and we get that news cycle of him or Clutch leaking to Sean saying, like, I don't know. It's just, we didn't deal with that. We aren't dealing with that. We're dealing with a team that is excited to get LeBron James back. And frankly, traditional media has no idea how to handle that. Shaq. Shaq said some shit is the name of this segment. And you guys can blame Raj for this because he brought it to my attention. So, a quote from Shaq here. "I kind of feel for Austin because he looks good. He's playing good. But as soon as LeBron comes back, he's going to be reverted back to standing in the corner," end quote. And my thing is, like, people like Shaq, people like Chuck, people like Stephen A. Smith, people like Kenny Smith, like these traditional media voices who get paid millions of dollars a year to talk about a sport, the bare fucking minimum that is asked of you is to watch basketball. That's it. Like, that's literally, I mean, I guess technically their job is to entertain. And I think part of the problem that with where we've arrived in terms of NBA media or NBA coverage, and part of the reason that the NBA broke away from Turner and is kind of trying to, through Amazon and NBC, show ESPN the extent to which they have fucked this up too. By the way, that isn't everybody at ESPN. I'm honestly just kind of speaking to Stephen A. Smith in this case, because I just can't stand the way that he covers anything, really. But the Turner crew and like ESPN, like bringing them back, we got the eulogy, man. Like we put them out to pasture. That was cool. They said their goodbyes and stuff like that, and then they come back to ESPN, and we're immediately met with nonsense like this. While Amazon is refreshing, while NBC has been refreshing, we get this like real stark reminder of like, all right, this is what we had before, and what I wasn't exactly missing when it was going away. And the thing is, and this is how I'll always say it, it's a very cynical approach that I think a lot of people take with the Lakers, and specifically LeBron on the Lakers. And we saw this with Kobe on the Lakers too. But it's really kind of like the math on it's very simple. You talk about the Lakers, you get eyeballs. You put the Lakers purple and gold logo up there, you're going to get eyeballs. That's the tried and true method there. You talk negative about the Lakers, you have all kinds of people. You have 29 other fan bases out there who probably hate the Lakers because they ruin childhoods. So you talk nonsense, you talk stupid and preferably negative about the Lakers, you're going to draw the attention of those fan bases as well. And then you're also going to draw the attention of Lakers fans because, as we're covering on the show, we have to react to that stuff. It's in our nature. It's in every sports fan's nature. When you go at the team that somebody roots for and you say stupid stuff, you're going to be corrected. And thus the cycle continues.